Canada HR News on November 13, 2023. I'm Elena Bobireva. In today's episode, we talk about the slowdown in holiday hiring, situation with unions in Quebec, layoffs at Canadian Tire and other organizations, pay and AI transparency is proposed in Ontario, and other topics. To get the latest HR updates, follow us on X at CAD HR News and LinkedIn at Canada HR News Podcast. This episode is brought to you by CareerGoals.ca, a career and image consulting agency committed to making your career aspirations come true. Achieve your dream job and receive top pay for the work that you're passionate about. To get a job search playbook that will set you up for success with your career in Canada, visit CareerGoals.ca. Indeed reports that as of November the 3rd, Canadian holiday job postings were down 30% from a year earlier, as seasonal recruitment started slow in September and did not catch up in October. Filling seasonal openings in recent years hasn't been easy for many employers. However, this year could be different, and not just because employer demand has cooled. Job seekers are also increasingly looking for seasonal work. Solid levels of seasonal job seeker interest indicates the normalization of daily life as the pandemic has waned. But it also comes at a time when the Canadian labor market has weakened somewhat, including for young workers, as the unemployment rate among those aged 15 to 24 in October stood at 11.4%, compared to 9.5% at the start of the year. Economy-wide job postings were also down 27% year-over-year, similar to the decline in holiday-specific posts, pointing to the link to the recent broad-based decline in employer demand. But despite the annual decline, total Canadian job postings were still up 18% from 4 years earlier. Quebec's Common Front of Public Sector Workers says it will strike again in 2 weeks, on November the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, if it is unable to come to an agreement with the provincial government. This would be the largest public sector strike in 50 years, the group told CTV News. The government's latest offer was a 10.3% salary increase over 5 years and a one-time payment of $1,000 to each worker. The government has said that in addition to pay raises, its offer includes more money for workers doing shifts it considers a priority, such as nurses working nights and weekends and teachers' aides in primary schools. Workers who earn less than $52,000 a year would also receive an additional 1% increase. The unions, on the other hand, say the government's proposal doesn't cover inflation. The Common Front is made up of 420,000 members who voted 95% in favor of walking out, including a potential unlimited general strike. Canadian Tire has cut about 3% of its workforce in its fourth quarter as tougher economic times weigh on consumers' willingness to spend. The retailer says it also won't fill most of its current job vacancies, resulting in a further reduction of 3%. Greg Hicks, the president and chief executive of the Toronto-based retailer, which also owns SportChek, Party City, Marks, and Helly Hansen, characterized the decision to slash jobs as tough and said it was made with a heavy heart. The cuts came as Canadian Tire and other retailers are seeing their customers become stretched ahead of the typically bustling Black Friday and holiday shopping season. High inflation and a high interest rate are pushing more to seek deals or put off purchases that are seen discretionary. Much of the softness Canadian Tire is seeing in discretionary spending is coming from indebted households, especially in Ontario and BC. Less spending attributed to debt-burdened customers drove 70% of the sales decline the company saw recently. Canadian Tire's next quarter is typically its biggest because people shop for holiday gifts, outdoor apparel and gear and staples they will use to cope with inclement weather. Executives expect to see shoppers return to some of their usual end-of-year shopping patterns, but also caution monetary policy will impact their business. A wave of layoffs last year, which left thousands of Canadian workers jobless, is continuing this year as recession predictions loom and the tech sector downturn deepens. The Canadian press has produced a long list of companies that have said goodbye to Canadian workers so far in 2023. We will feature some of them in this episode. Canadian Google employees affected by a 12,000-person cut the tech giant announced in mid-January were notified of their termination in early February. The Seattle department store chain Nordstrom said in early March that it would close all of its Canadian stores, leaving 2,500 staff unemployed. Rogers confirmed in July that a small percentage of staff left involuntarily since Rogers combined with Shaw. Rona, the home improvement retailer, said in June that it was eliminating 500 jobs across Canada to simplify its organizational structure and to adapt to a slowing economy. Scotiabank said in October that it would cut about 3% of its global workforce as a result of changes in customers' day-to-day banking preferences, as well as ongoing efforts to streamline its operations. Shopify, the Ottawa e-commerce software company, laid off 20% of staff in early May in a move meant to help it more intensely focus on its main operations. Shopify refused to say how many staff would be departing the company, but before it laid off about 1,000 workers last summer, it had roughly 10,000 employees. TELUS, the Vancouver telecommunications firm, announced plans to slash 6,000 jobs in August, attributing the move to the evolving regulatory, competitive, and macroeconomic environment. Suncor, the Calgary-based company, said at the start of June that it would cut 1,500 jobs by the end of the year as it aims to reduce costs and improve the firm's lagging financial performance. For information on other companies, see the link in the episode description. The 2023 living wage for Metro Vancouver is $25.68 per hour. Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives reports that this is the hourly rate that each of the two parents working full-time must earn to support a family of four in Metro Vancouver. To calculate the living wage, they start by determining the cost of a basket of basic goods and services that reflect a decent, if modest, standard of living. Although inflation has come down from the historic highs recorded last year, the cost of living in Metro Vancouver continues to increase rapidly. It is 6.6% higher than last year. A strikingly large gap exists between the 2023 Metro Vancouver living wage and BC's current minimum wage of $16.75 per hour. Many families earn less than the living wage and struggle to make ends meet. People who work for lower wages face impossible choices: buy groceries or heat the house, keep up with bills or pay the rent on time. The result can be spiraling debt, constant anxiety, and long-term health problems. In many cases, it means working long hours, often at multiple jobs, just to pay for basic necessities. Parents end up having little time to spend with their families, much less to help their children with schoolwork or participate in community activities, that we are all poorer for it. Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives says that the living wage is a call to employers to pay both direct and contract employees' wages sufficient to support their families. Paying living wages can have concrete benefits for employers, including reduced absenteeism and staff turnover, increased skill, improved morale and productivity levels, reduced recruitment and training costs, and improved customer satisfaction. But the living wage is not just about employers. The labor market alone cannot solve all the problems related to economic insecurity. The standard of living is a combination of earnings, benefits, government income supports, and accessible public services that reduce the cost of living. The report recommends actions that can be taken by the provincial and federal governments. For the link to the report, see the episode description. The Ontario government will soon introduce legislation that, if passed, would require employers to include expected salary ranges in job postings, giving workers more information to make informed decision in their career search. In addition, the legislation would make Ontario the first jurisdiction in Canada to require businesses to disclose if artificial intelligence is used during their hiring process. AI tools are being adopted by Ontario businesses at a rapid rate and generate high volumes of personal data about job applicants and employees. Increasingly, they may also make employment decisions that affect people's lives. In response to growing concerns about the ethical, legal, and privacy implications of AI, the government is proposing to require employers to inform job seekers when it is used to inform decisions in the hiring process. The government says that 7 in 10 workers have reported experiencing a form of harassment or violence in the workplace. To help end workplace misconduct and hold abusers to account, the government will also be conducting consultations and detailed analysis on ending the use of non-disclosure agreements in the settlement of cases of workplace sexual harassment, misconduct, or violence. In addition, the government is proposing changes to clarify vacation pay provisions to ensure employees are aware that their written agreement is required if vacation pay is paid in any way other than a lump sum before their vacation. And this was Canada HR News. Please leave us a rating and a comment in Apple Podcasts and on our YouTube channel. You can also find us on Spotify and other platforms. For more information on the topics discussed today, see the episode description and connect with us on X at CAD HR News and LinkedIn at Canada HR News Podcast.